Lewis.
This is Ray Maynard.
This is Frankie the Answer Edgar.
This is Jordan Breen.
This is Sarah Kaufman.
This is Chris Lights Out Lytle, and you listen to MMA Sucker Radio.
Hello, 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 everybody out there in internet radio land. That's right, you're listening to MMA Sucker Radio here on MMASucker.com and MMACanada.net. We are post UFC 124 in Les Belles Provinces of Montreal, Quebec. That's the best French you'll ever get from me. And what a night it was. First off, I have to introduce our guest co-host. I call him a guest co-host, but he's actually the producer of the show. But he's a guest co-host because I don't get to ride shotgun with him very often. The beautiful, the ugly, the great, the shitty, our producer, Jeremy Brand.
That was quite the intro, Trev. Thanks very much. I'll take the beautiful, the ugly, and all that stuff. I'll take it in good times.
Okay, all right. Okay. Well, let's talk. Well, first off, dude, where did you watch UFC 124 yesterday? I was at the London pub, this new pub in Vancouver. Where were you at?
I was on my couch, sitting shotgun. It was my wife's birthday, so we spent the night at home.
Watching and, UFC.
Yeah, made her dinner and whatnot, sat on the couch, watched some UFC, you know. It was good times.
Okay, yeah. Hey, honey, want to do something for your birthday? We're going to watch some UFC. I know my wife would love that. So what did you think? First off, let's start off with the main event. St. Pierre pretty much laying a pummeling to Josh Koscheck. Never seen a guy enter a fight like that and pretty much lead with the jab the entire night. Throw some nice hooks as well, but just beat a guy with that Superman jab or just the straight jab. I mean, that was just a thing of beauty to watch.
Oh, yeah, it was the straight jab. There was no lucidness about it, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was just bam. Bam, bam.
It's almost like he hopped.
Exactly.
When he
did too.
It was
and Joe Rogan actually said that last night. He said Josh Koscheck was throwing the jab. He would try and throw a jab, but it was just he was standing there and throwing it, right? Whereas George St. Pierre was covering distance with his jab. He was popping it. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah, and so obviously he won that fight by unanimous decision. And really, I don't think how many times did we really see Koscheck really even hit St. Pierre fight? I mean, it was pretty rare.
Oh yeah, and even he didn't even try to go for the takedown.
Like, no,
he hit it once, I think.
Yeah. What was even more interesting is that St. Pierre had a tough time taking Koscheck down.
Oh yeah,
which you know from their first fight, you know we saw St. Pierre take him down with pretty much ease.
And you could see what Koscheck was obviously working on in training camp. He didn't think George was going to stand with him.
No, because he told Dana White, apparently, before the fight even started, he told Dana White, George is not going to stand with me. Well, he did, Josh. And you got... I mean, you know what, though? I want to be nice to Koscheck for a second, because, you know, I've been calling him a lot of different things on the show, including douchebag. But, you know what? There was some class there at the end. You know, when they embraced, and it looked like Koscheck was pretty much saying all kinds of, you know, sweet nothings in St. Pierre's ear. And then after the fight, to call him the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. You know, that was a classy thing by Josh Koscheck.
That's something I wanted to bring up with you tonight. I posted that question on Facebook to my friends and as well on the MMA Sucka fan page, facebook.com.
Yeah, join us.
MMA Sucka.
Join us.
Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't stated before that George St. Pierre was the pound-for-pound best, and obviously Dana White put out his pound-for-pound best, he said Anderson Silva's number one, George St. Pierre number two, Jose Aldo's in the mix somewhere.
Yeah.
What do you think? I personally think I don't see George as the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world.
I think it's like a 1A, 1B sort of thing.
Well,
I don't even
know about Anderson Silva. Like, they're both up there. But
what
could you see if – well, and someone said this on Facebook, and it sort of got my mind thinking.
Oh, great.
If Jose Aldo
– don't hurt yourself
– was 190 pounds.
Okay.
He would kick the shit out of both those guys, I think.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. I still think Anderson Silva – I think Jose Aldo's got to put in more time before we can call him pound for pound the best. St. Pierre and Anderson Silva have been doing it for a lot longer. And the thing is that Anderson Silva, in my mind, is still number one, but I still think St. Pierre is right there. And that is why we have a lot of questions now about St. Pierre, and will he finally get that super fight? Will we as fans finally get that super fight between George St. Pierre and Anderson Silva? But you know what? Let's tease that.
Sounds
because
good.
We can bring it up later on in the show. We can bring it up with our guest who's going to be on in just a few minutes. Let's talk about our guest first. We've got I'll let you introduce because you're the producer and you set this up. So why don't you tell us, who do we have?
Well, the first one you actually set up. So we have
That's right.
UFC Canada's operator.
Yep, director of operations.
That's what we like to call him. Yeah, yep. He's the director of operations, Tom.
D-op.
D-op.
The D-op of UFC Canada.
And then up next at about 7:40 or so, we have John Doomsday Howard, who took on Thiago Alves last night.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Because I like Doomsday Howard. He's a friend of the show, and we always like having him on. So we thought we'd bring him on. We were hoping it was going to be after a victory, but unfortunately, Thiago Alves just looked like a fucking machine.
Oh yeah, I mean, John Howard. Don't get me wrong. The guy has a lot of potential in the UFC. He's a great Muay Thai fighter. That's why this fight was supposedly going to be the greatest Muay Thai fight we've ever seen.
No.
Turned out to be a one-sided match.
Yeah, and you know, hey, all the credit in the world goes to Thiago Alves. He looked phenomenal, made weight, looked great, was doing the Dolce diet and everything.
Yeah, fucking ripped.
Yeah, and so, and his just crisp striking. I mean, they said it on the air yesterday that that was probably his best performance in the UFC octagon. Sure, I thought he had a good fight against Josh Koscheck that one time.
Thought he had a good fight against Matt Hughes.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think people are just talking about the way he looked and how clean his striking was. Just really, I mean, Doomsday's no joke. And he made Doomsday look like he was ready for his Sunday. You know what I mean?
Definitely, yeah.
He was ready to relax soon.
Oh, yeah.
He did not want any part of Thiago Alves in the end there. And, again, like I said, all the credit in the world goes to Thiago Alves. So
that also shows us that he's going to be in the 170-pound division for a while.
Yeah, really?
I think so.
Well, maybe. Now that he's got this new lease on life, he knows how to eat properly and train properly. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if anybody who's ever met Thiago Alves, he is one absolutely short dude. He is a small guy, and I'm a small guy, and he's shorter than me. He's just a monster, though. And just, you know, and he could probably fight at the middleweight division. But, definitely look good at the welterweight division. Anything else stand out to you before we get on here with Tom Wright in a couple minutes?
Submissions definitely stood out to me. I mean, did you see Jim Miller's knee bar?
Yeah, it went from like a Tank Abbott toe hold to... it was a nice transition into the lock. And I thought, it was interesting because you have, Oliveira...
Who's undefeated.
Yeah, and, jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Practitioner. Yeah. From Brazil. Stumbling with my words there. But you know what I'm saying? He's Mr., Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And, he was in there, and he had his hips going. He was looking all fluid. And then you had this American jiu-jitsu coming in, and just like, bam, bam, I'm going to break your leg, and that's it. So, that was good. What other submissions stood out to you?
The Mark Bocek one. Dustin Hazlett losing three in a row now. I mean, what happens with him?
I would say that due to the depth in the UFC right now, Strike Force.
Yeah, we could see that happen.
MFC. Quite possibly. Well, you know what? Another bigger promotion that we do want to talk about tonight, and the director of operations for UFC Canada is now joining us. Mr. Tom Wright, thank you for joining us. I know you've probably had a very, very long day.
I have, Trevor, but you know what? It's been a great day. Didn't get back to my hotel last night till around 4 in the morning, but it was an incredible evening at the Bell Center. The crowd, it was a record crowd for MMA in North America, certainly for the UFC. We were just around 23,000 that crammed into the Bell Center, and they saw some great, great fights, all of them leading up to the main event, and George St. Pierre didn't disappoint.
Well, before we get into the details of that, I first just want to ask you, what's Christmas like at the Wright household? What do you guys normally like to do? Are you big Christmas people?
We're big Christmas people, and it's funny you say that because I've got a daughter that's in university who just came. We have three daughters. They all came home for the came with me to Montreal, and we came back. Two of my daughters drove back. My youngest and my wife flew back, and we came back just in time. We had a nice dinner, and we decorated our tree. We got our tree up, and it's all done. And we'll spend Christmas here, and then we actually go skiing, usually on Boxing Day for a few days just north of Toronto. So Christmas is a big part. I'm a big part of a big family. I'm one of seven kids. My wife's one of six kids. So Christmas is a big deal for us here.
Nice. Okay, so just hang on a second here, though. You're going skiing in Toronto or in Ontario?
Yeah, absolutely.
They have that there?
Well, do you guys have golf in Vegas?
We do, but actually, you know, our show is
never absolutely. We don't exactly have the Rocky Mountains here in Ontario, but a couple of hours north of Toronto, there's a ski area called the Blue Mountain, and we go up every Christmas, and actually, it's fabulous. It's sort of like Vermont skiing.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, because our show is actually based in Vancouver. We have a Las Vegas number, but our show is based in Vancouver, and, I mean, we've got beautiful skiing. Have you ever gone skiing here in British Columbia?
Oh, yeah. I've been to Whistler many times. I used to work for Salomon, the ski company, so I've skied in some great places courtesy of that company, so... yes, I'm very jealous of your skiing in Vancouver, at least up at Whistler. But you know what? If you've grown up in Toronto, Southern Ontario, it's the only game in town. So guess what? You take what you get.
Oh, absolutely! It sounds like a good family experience. So that's awesome. Well, let's talk about your history a little bit, because you know we have a lot of people in Canada listening right now, and I'm sorry for a lot of our U.S. listeners and European listeners, but I do want to ask you a couple things. You used to be the commissioner of the CFL, and personally, I think you probably will go down in history as one of the best.
Trevor. Thanks.
Yeah, I think you took the league at the time, and pretty much, I wouldn't say single-handedly, but it was definitely a renaissance period that you had been the commissioner of the Canadian Football League, which, by the way, people who don't know what the Canadian Football League is, it's huge in Canada. It's probably next to the NHL in Canada as far as sports go. MMA is definitely up there as well. I just want to get your thoughts on your experience of, first off, being the commissioner of a league like that, and then how that's translated into the role that you're doing now for the UFC.
Well, you know what? It's interesting you ask, Trevor, because, you know, it was a real honor and privilege for me to take on that role, because the Canadian Football League is part of what makes Canada distinct as a nation. It's The Grey Cup, it's interesting because most Americans wouldn't realize this. The Super Bowl this year is the 45th. It's going to be in Dallas. We just had our 98th Grey Cup in Edmonton. The 100th is going to be in Toronto in a couple of years. And it's part of what makes Canada distinct, this East versus West versus this trophy. The fact that our game is different from the American game. It's got some quirky rules, you know, three downs instead of four, 12 players instead of 11. And it's this one sort of cultural sport event that comes every November that brings the country together. And doesn't matter whether you're from the East Coast, the West Coast, from a big province or small, it all comes together. And so, you know, for me, it was a real honor to have an opportunity to be part of that organization and actually to help build it and strengthen it for the future. And it's interesting that there are quite a few parallels between the Canadian Football League and the UFC, certainly here in Canada, and the first parallel starts with the athletes, and I've found in my now 6-7 months with the UFC that one of the things that differentiates our athletes from other professional athletes is the fact that they're so accessible, they're so approachable. These are down to earth, hardworking guys that when they're not training and they're not competing, they're working in the community, they're giving back to the community, and in very many ways they're more like CFL players that aren't in it necessarily just for the money, but they love the work, they love the competition, and they really do give back to the communities, and I've found that to be, you know, a really a distinguishing a point of really consistent comparison to the CFL. The other thing that I would tell you is that the intensity of the fans' passion, I've seen that in both the UFC and the CFL. If you know anything about the Canadian Football League in this country, the most rabid fans are, you know, tend to be in the western provinces, particularly in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And I've likened all UFC fans to Saskatchewan Rough Rider fans. They are knowledgeable, they're passionate, they are totally committed. They will drive, a Saskatchewan Rough Rider fan will drive 5, 6, 7 hours to a game. And you know what, in Montreal this week, I was staying at the host hotel. I was running into people from Halifax, from Calgary, from all over Ontario, I mean, 10, 20 cities in Ontario. And people were driving, you know, anywhere from 5 to 15 hours to get to UFC 124, and they weren't disappointed.
Well, no kidding. Let's get right into UFC 124. Actually, the big name right now, obviously everyone's talking about, is GSP. Just your thoughts on his performance.
He was relentless, mm-hmm. and he was also as I really expected him to be. He was very calculating. He did his homework. He had a game plan. He stuck to his game plan. It was all about trying to, you know, I think Koscheck expected him to take him to the ground really, really early and consistently through the five rounds. But it was very much a stand-up competition. You saw it,
mm-hmm.
and he came from the outside and really he attacked Koscheck's right eye and once he got it, that's where he went and he. I mean, it was relentless how many times he jabbed. His jab was super fast. He was striking really well, and he obviously defended very well. I think he tried 5 takedowns. He only had 1 successfully, but
yeah.
He really prevented Koscheck from getting at him as well. But the damage was done pretty early on that eye, and being a strong martial artist, he saw that weakness and he took care of it. I mean, it was unanimous. All judges had him winning all 5 rounds, and the crowd didn't disagree, and frankly, I didn't either.
Were you surprised about how dominant George was in this fight?
No, I really wasn't. I don't know George intimately, but I've been watching him really, really closely as we've gone through this process. I've been to 4 or 5 press conferences with him. I spent a day with him in Montreal. We were doing some media work with him, and he is incredibly disciplined. He brought in the best coaches to help him train during his training camp. He chooses and focuses on opponents' weaknesses, and I really wasn't. He is the ultimate student of the sport. He is just getting better. His fitness, Trevor, was remarkable.
Oh, yeah.
I was sitting right beside the octagon. I was in the first row in Dana White's section, and I watched him in between every single round. And he didn't even open up his mouth as he was breathing. I mean, he was breathing heavily, but he wasn't gasping at all. He was incredibly, incredibly fit. So he prepared. He did his homework. He was super fit. We've always known the kind of athlete he is, and he clearly had the crowd on his side. It was like going to a Montreal Canadiens hockey game. They did all the hockey chants for him, including the ole ole ole. They
mm-hmm.
in the last 2 minutes left in the fifth round. Every time if you're at a Habs game and the Habs are winning, they sing that that song. You know, na na na. You know, hey hey, goodbye.
Yeah.
And they started singing that with about 2 minutes left. It was quite a remarkable scene. It was a great show. You know, bottom line, it was a great show.
Absolutely. And staying on the topic of GSP here for a second, a couple more questions about this. First off, how great is it to have somebody like that in Canada representing UFC and also representing the country of Canada and UFC Canada? Because, I mean, I know Dana White said something quite interesting at one of the press conferences in Montreal that, you know, he feels that George St. Pierre has surpassed Wayne Gretzky as far as popularity in his country. I don't know if I necessarily agree with him, but I understand sort of what he's saying, that for us, when I was younger, the person in Canada, or the athlete in Canada that I idolized, or a lot of, you know, kids idolized, was Wayne Gretzky. Nowadays, you can see that there's a lot of kids who put George St. Pierre on that sort of similar pedestal. And so I think it's a fair comparison. I mean, it must be terrific for you, though, to have somebody like that that is just, he's just a class act.
He is a class act, but make no mistake about it, Trevor. He's a great role model and ambassador for our sport globally, not just in Canada. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's got a tremendous following here, but he was recently on a tour out in the Philippines, and he was in Manila, and there were literally tens of thousands of people that were following him. So he is not just an ambassador here, but he's a great ambassador for a sport globally. And on the Gretzky thing, you know, I think you misunderstood what Dana was saying, and I actually agree with the comment that he was making. It wasn't that GSP is a more famous athlete in Canada. It's that he is, if you look at him on a global basis, he is a more famous and has had more impact as an athlete in his sport globally, mm-hmm. than Wayne Gretzky has. And that's just because, you know, MMA is a global sport, and hockey isn't. Try as hockey will, it'll never be mainstream in China. It's never going to make it in Brazil, and it's not going to make it in certain parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And it's no different than cricket. It's a great sport, but it's not going to make it in North America, mm-hmm. and football is never going to make it in India or Pakistan.
Yeah.
But fighting is universal. Everybody gets it, and as a sportsman, as a ambassador or a role model in our sport, he is the greatest athlete globally and most famous one that Canada has produced, and I get that.
What's next? I mean, what would you like to see? I mean, Dana White has said he's not sure, but you personally, not just, you know, Director of Operations of USC Canada, but just put your fan hat on. What would you like to see next for George St. Pierre as far as competitor?
Well, I think, clearly Jake Shields has earned the shot at the title, and Dana said that as much. I think at some point, I know the world would love to see, at least certain people would love to see a rematch of Koscheck and GSP, but I think Jake Shields has certainly earned it. There's been talk about having a catchweight event, not for necessarily for a title, but to really, you know, sort of answer that question, who is pound for pound the best fighter between GSP and Silva, which would be fascinating to see. But if I was a betting man, I think what you'll probably see is Jake Shields get that shot, and there's every chance that it could happen at UFC 131, which, you know, Dana announced earlier this week is going to be in Toronto on April the 30th.
Yeah, and that leads me right into that. Toronto, you guys announced it earlier in the week. And I had a chance to talk to you as well about it on the phone just the other day. But for the people that don't know, UFC 131 is going to be in Toronto April 30th. This was announced. It's a Rogers Centre, which holds over 65,000 people. Are we going to see 65,000 people in this, or are we looking at some sort of making it a little bit smaller to maybe seat 40,000?
It'll be the latter, Trevor. We'll configure it to probably 35,000-40,000. Our production people are coming up, and they've already had one site visit, and we'll have some other discussions with the Rogers Center folk. We want to make sure that we don't compromise the fan experience, and I mean, we could probably put 65,000 people in there, but, you know, Dana said it, I've said it, it's all about making sure that the fan experience that our fans are used to when they come to an event isn't in any way compromised. So I think that's what we'll probably set it up for. And you know, getting back to the potential cards on that fight, mm-hmm. I mean, I've really pushed hard to you know, try to make this like another UFC 100. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see a couple of championships on there. And now with the WEC molded into the UFC, we've got one last fight. WEC 53 is in Glendale, Arizona, this coming Thursday, the 16th. I guess it's the 16th of Thursday. I know it's on the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Thursday. I mean, there's every chance that we should be able to have two championships on two belts being contested on the 30th, which I think would just be magic. We've got a fan expo tied to it as well.
Right.
outside of about 10-15 minutes from the Rogers Center. There's going to be a two-day fan expo on the 29th and 30th at the Direct Energy Center here in Toronto. And that's going to be a great opportunity. There's just so much pent-up demand and so many great fans in the Southern Ontario market. And an event like that, and we'll draw them from New York State, of course, where it's sort of the last bastion of our sport not being regulated. But they'll come from all over Ontario. They'll come from Quebec. They'll come from Manitoba. For that fan expo, it's going to be a lot of fun.
We're listening to Tom Wright here on MMA Sucker Radio, and that's on MMASucker.com and MMACanada.net. Just a little bit about that, about Toronto and Ontario as a whole, because last summer when the province announced that they were sanctioning the sport and they're going through that sort of process, it caught a lot of us by surprise just because of sort of what the political climate was there before in regards to mixed martial arts. How difficult was it for you guys to convince the province to sanction this sport?
You know, it's in every province and every state, it sort of takes on its own, a method of its own. It sort of takes on its own character. It's always complicated, and you really can't predict how it's going to go. In the case of Ontario, I think that there were several people in government that had tried, but they really weren't champions of the cause. And when you're trying to do these kinds of things, it always is great to have a champion. And we actually finally got one when some ministers changed hands, and a new minister came in, actually a woman from Hamilton named Sophia Agilonidis. And she came in, and apart from, being somewhat of a fan, the more important thing for us was that she was determined to do her homework and work with us to help build a very fact-based, objective argument as to why it made sense. And we together and provided the minister with the medical data that shows, definitively, and you would know this as well as anybody that's a fan, that our sport is actually, much less dangerous than other contact sports and other combat sports like boxing. That our safety record is tremendous. We provided the government with letters of support from groups like the Ontario Provincial Police Association, the Ontario Hotel and Restaurant Association. There's some youth groups in Toronto that also support us. And in the end, the minister made the argument that basically was, listen, you can watch the sport on pay-per-view. You can go to a bar, restaurant, or to your local Cineplex Odeon and watch it. You can buy the video games. You can watch it online. You can buy the DVDs. You can buy action figures. You can do everything. But you can't watch it live. So, just what are you protecting the people from to live in Ontario from? And by the way, not having events here, people are going to pick up their dollars and move them to other places where there are events. And you see that all around. So I think the government recognized that it was time to let people make their own choices. And then also we pointed out the economic benefit. And the economic benefit is tremendous. I mean, you saw it in Vancouver last June when we had 17,000-18,000 at the then GM Place, now Rogers Arena. It was a great event. It generated a lot of economic activity for that entire part of British Columbia. The city took advantage of it. It was a great event. It was well managed by the venue. The fans all had a great time. Lots of money was spent, and that's the kind of economic driver that these kinds of big events provide, particularly when you only come once a year. And so I think all those things came together, Trevor, and we ended up being successful.
What do you have to say then to the reports that are coming out? Some sources have told me, and I don't know if this is completely accurate, but that even though they have sanctioned it, is that maybe possibly there is some sort of underlining things that are going on with the current Ontario Athletic Commission, some disorganization, maybe possibly some growing pains. There's another group that wants to come in and take on that role. Any comment about that?
No. All I would say is that we had excellent meetings leading up to this to this event with the government, with the athletic commissioner. Ken Hayashi knows this stuff. He was in Montreal. He met with the Quebec commission there, which is probably the best commission across the country.
Right.
I think that absolutely they'll have their all the rules and regulations are in place. Applications are going to be received on January the 1st. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be it's going to be a smooth process. A lot of the heavy lifting has already been done, Trevor, so
okay.
I'm not worried about that. And frankly, you know, we seek regulation, and we seek it because we want the safety and the health of our athletes to be protected. And if you don't have regulation, you know what happens. It gets driven underground, and when it gets driven underground,
yep.
where there aren't the consistency, there isn't the rules, there isn't the medical procedures, that the referees aren't trained, there isn't the drug testing, that's when you end up with injuries, and that's when it hurts the sport.
Okay, with that then, and that's great, and I love what the fact that the UFC is doing that, and they're able to, you know, educate provinces and other states. Do you guys, and are you a firm believer in this, Tom, that then that these other provinces or municipality cities should allow other organizations to come in as well? Because that way then you have these professional organizations that are able to bring on we'll just speak for Canada here, Canadian fighters, so they can groom them so that one day they can maybe fight in a UFC event. I know that you go into these meetings and it's pretty much all UFC, but when you get the province to sanction the sport, when you have, like say in Vancouver, not when the city doesn't allow these other promotions to come in, I mean, doesn't that ultimately hurt the UFC because you don't have these promotions grooming, you know, Canadian fighters?
Well, I don't know, Trevor, about groups that have been not, you know, disallowed in Vancouver. I've not heard about that. But I can tell you unequivocally when we sit down with the government, we talk about sanctioning MMA. We don't talk about sanctioning UFC.
Right.
Frankly, we welcome other shows, other promoters. We just want to make sure that they hold their athletes to the standards of regulation that are required, because obviously we want to make sure that they're trained properly and the events are fairly held, and that the health and safety of their athletes is protected. We're all about trying to build a sport. Ultimately, that's going to benefit us, but it's going to benefit every other promoter out there. We have at no time talked to any government about you know, regulating the UFC. It's all about regulating MMA. Mm-hmm. And frankly, the more organizations that are there that are being held to a certain standard of requirement means
right.
that the quality of athletes being developed is going to improve, and the quality of the officials, the referees, the judges is going to be advanced, and that's all going to help our sport.
Yeah, and fair enough. I completely agree with you, and that's sort of what I thought the answer would be. I just, you know, there were some people that wanted me to ask that because in Vancouver there's a situation going on, and then there's rumors of stuff going on in Ontario, so I just wanted to make that clear. So thank you for answering that.
Okay.
Let's go on to some of these other Canadian cities. I want to get you to touch on Vancouver. Are we looking at a show in June?
Well, you know, I think we were very happy with the one we had last June or this past June, and we'd love to come back around the same time period. I'm still working with the city, still working with there's a new commissioner in Vancouver, as you probably know, and you know, he's getting his feet wet. I think he's going to do a great job, and so I'm very confident that we'll be back. But we're not in a position where we can announce something because we still have a little bit of homework to do. And I planned actually to be out in Vancouver in early January with Mark Ratner, just to continue to have the conversations and make sure that the city is ready and we're ready. I mean, we want to come back, and we sat down with the city manager and looked her in the eye and told her that, and you know, she felt very confident that it would happen too. So we're working ahead. Love to see it happen in June, but nothing's been announced yet.
And our friends, our folks in Alberta, are they still on your target?
They absolutely are. You know, I met with several people from Calgary when I was in Montreal this past week, and they're all pushing for an opportunity. And I think Alberta's a great MMA province. We had a show in June, WEC 49 in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as well attended as we wanted for a bunch of different reasons. But that market is strong, and so is Calgary. And I think that certainly in time, I can see a UFC pay-per-view, a numbered event coming to Calgary, the Saddle Dome, and I think it would be a great show.
Last question for you, and by the way, you're listening to MMA Sucker Radio, and we have Tom Wright joining us. Last question, this is another political question for you, but have you guys spoken to the federal government about decriminalizing the sport?
Virtually every day. As a matter of fact, I met with no fewer than two federal ministers when I was in Montreal this week, and last week I was in Ottawa and had four or five meetings with MPPs on both sides of the floor. Because we want to. There's an omnibus bill that is waiting to get introduced into legislation. It was almost there, Trevor. Basically 11 months ago, and it died on the order paper when the government was prorogued. So we have to go through that process again. So the quick answer is yes, we're working on it. Changing the criminal code isn't the sexiest legislation that's out there, so it doesn't quite get the attention that other things do. Yeah. But we're confident that it'll happen. It's no different than we were talking about earlier about Ontario and other jurisdictions. Political things take time, and they sort of run their own course, and we just have to be patient and recognize that it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And we're in this for 100 years, not for 100 weeks. So we'll just take our time.
Absolutely, Tom. Tom, I just want to thank you for coming on. You're listening to Tom Wright, Director of Operations for UFC Canada on MMA Sucker Radio. Enjoy your Christmas, Mr. Wright, and enjoy the skiing in Ontario. I still find that bizarre.
I know. I've got mountain envy to you guys out there. But you know what? As long as you're with your family, it makes for a great Christmas, and I'm looking forward to it. And to you, Trevor, have a great Christmas, and to all your listeners as well.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, Tom. Merry Christmas to you.
Okay, take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Tom Wright, Director of Operations for UFC Canada. We are going to be going to a commercial break here, but when we get back, we will have Doomsday Howard. That's right, Doomsday Howard will be joining us, hopefully straight after the break. So keep it locked on MMA Sucker Radio.
This year, one man looks for answers.
Hello? I'm just doing a Google search there. Disembodied voice.
It's him versus the world. No more Mr. Nice Guy.
What? I didn't. No. No, I'm a nice guy.
He's back in action and better than ever.
No, I've been here for a while, but okay then.
Nothing's going to stop him. The truth is out there.
Yeah, I just want to find out who's fighting on Saturday. That's it. The hell?
Get ready for action. Are you ready for the thrill ride of your life?
Is anybody else listening to this? Anybody? Like, some girls maybe even? They want to go for a thrill ride, huh? Kapow. Yeah. Thrill ride.
Don't miss the internet event of the decade.
Porno?
MMASucker.com.
MMASucker.com. Not porn.
MMASucker.com. MMA news has never looked this good.
MMASucker.com. All right. Thank you, voice.
No problem. MMASucker.com. Be there.
Authority, rule, control. This is what is meant by dominance. Only a select few can climb the mountain. Hard work, sweat, and blood are what is left on the mats. You leave your entire being in the cage and ring, all for that one chance to be called champion. There are no moral victories, only casualties. Are you ready to stand your ground? Go to DominicGround.com and prepare yourself for war. DominicGround.com. Be dominant. You're listening to State of the Union, only on MMA Sucker Radio. Brought to you by Clench Custom Mouthguards. Watch your mouth.
Well, you're not listening to State of the Union. That's at the end of December. Good job, producer Jeremy. That's awesome. But speaking of State of the Union, people have actually asked us if we were going to have another State of the Union show because of this month. It's been kind of jam-packed with Christmas. By the way, we will not be on the air on the 26th of December because, you know, got to spend some Christmas with the family. So we will not be doing a show on the 26th. We may rerun a show, but you guys shouldn't be listening to internet radio on Boxing Day or on the 26th anyway. You should be spending it with your family. So we will be back at the end of the month, the following day. I believe that is, what, the 2nd? January 2nd?
Yeah, January 2nd.
Yeah, you know, I think we'll just do our State of the Union show on January 2nd.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and it's a good time to do it, too, because, you know, 2011 and that whole thing.
Yeah, and UFC 125 on January 1st.
Yes, yes.
So there could be lots of topics that come up there.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll do our State of the Union show then. So, yeah, looking forward to that. That'll be fun. We're going to be joined by Doomsday here in about, 6 minutes?
About 8 minutes.
Eight minutes. Producer Jeremy. Keeping it real, telling you how it is. 8 minutes. So, well, we were talking about UFC 124, but there was actually Mr. Tom Wright alluded to another. I guess it's not really a pay per view. It's just another show. WEC 53, December 16th on Thursday. And anything excites you about that card, Jeremy? Anything that just gets you kind of like woo, showing?
Well, yeah, definitely the Ben Henderson Anthony Pettis fight. Huge fan of both guys. Mm-hmm. We've had Pettis on the show before.
Yes.
Dude is amazing.
Great guy. Great guy. Love talking. We should have him on again, actually. We should bring him on maybe after.
After he wins the belt?
After, yes. That's a tough test, though. Ben Henderson.
That it is, yeah.
I don't know. I'm having a tough time picking who's going to win this fight. I've been kind of going back and forth. You want to make a pick right now, or should we wait until we do a write-up or something?
What do you say? You make your pick. I'm choosing... Let's make it.
You're going for your heart or your head?
No, I'm going for my head.
I bet you are.
And my heart.
I bet you are.
You wish. But I do think Anthony Pettis will take this win.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And that's your final pick?
If I had to go to a duel, I would still pick Anthony Pettis.
Do you want to use any lifelines?
No.
You want to call a friend? No?
If I were to call a friend, it would be you, Trev, so...
Thanks. Well, you live a very lonely life. I wanted, my heart goes with Anthony Pettis on this one, but I'm going to take Ben Henderson. But I'll flip flop on it tomorrow. So
for sure, I think the co-main event is pretty up there too.
What was the game? It was Dominic Cruz versus
Scott Jorgensen?
Yeah, that's right. Again, I'm not making my picks today. So if you're looking at me thinking, who are you going to pick?
No, I don't really care about that.
Oh, good.
I just wanted the main event.
Care about you. But the one guy on this card that I'm actually looking at is Chris Horodecki. Canada's own Chris Horodecki. I keep pumping the Canadian flag today. I apologize to our American friends. They're probably just like, man, oh man, you keep talking about Canada a lot.
Fighting
today.
A tough fight, though, man. Donald Cerrone is no joke.
No. So as much as I love you, Chris, I know you're listening right now. Donald Cerrone is a big step up in competition. So good luck to Chris Horodecki. You know what? And if he beats Cerrone, I mean that pretty much places Horodecki right in the midst, don't you think?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Right in the thick of things.
This card is so stacked that they have Jamie Varner on the undercard
against Shane Roller.
Huge fight.
Yeah, and it's on the undercard. Interesting. Yeah. So, looking forward to WEC 53. I believe it is the last show for WEC, but we will no longer see the blue. And they will be moving on. Really? I don't know. I think it's about time. Moving on into the UFC. I'm not supposed to call it a merger because Mr. Mark Pavlich told me last week, you call that a merger? It's not a merger. So, again, I will not call it a merger. They melded into...
Exactly, yeah. Do you think that, a question to you, Trev, do you think the cage size will make a difference?
You know, I asked that the other day. I was watching one of the WEC guys, I forget who it was, fighting on, and, oh yeah, it was Nam Phan, the Nam Phan fight. And I was wondering, like, yeah, the cage is significantly bigger.
It is, but yeah. Even...
I think it makes it more exciting.
Oh yeah, for sure. And even that fight, though, that you were watching, the Nam Phan fight, which was at UFC, the fight night, or yep. Whatever you want to call it.
Tough finale.
Exactly. That cage was even smaller.
Yes. Yes.
That was than the normal UFC cage.
That's right, because they had to fit it into the casino.
Exactly,
the
Little Palms
casino there. Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Good to know.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to UFC 124. I wanted to bring this up because we were chatting about Jim Miller before.
Okay.
There's an article on the Underground right now where he's stating and arguing that he should be ranked number 3 in the lightweight division.
I don't know about number 3. I mean, I think he's there. I mean, possibly. I think he needs another win.
Yeah. He's saying, let's just quote him.
Okay,
on this.
Yeah, you quote him. All right. Can you do it in your best Jim Miller?
Probably not.
Okay.
But I've done nothing to show I shouldn't be number 3. Behind number 1 and 2 at 155, because he's beaten both guys. He's lost to both guys. He's lost to Gray Maynard, and he's lost to Frank Yeager.
Well, there you go.
His only 2 losses.
There you go. Well, then, yeah.
So he figures he's cornered by those guys, and he should be number 3.
I don't know. You know what? There's so much competition right now in that division. I mean, I think he's in the thick of things. I like saying that today. The thick of things. But I don't think he is number 3. I mean, who would you like to see him fight next? I mean, he looked dominant.
He did. I can't call him number 3 myself either, because look at what we're looking at WC 53.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Pettis and Ben Henderson are both in the UFC lightweight division now.
Yeah, absolutely. They haven't won in the UFC yet, though. Keep that in mind. But
that's true.
But, so I mean... But I can, yeah, I see what you're saying. But like I said, it's a very stacked division. I mean, throw me a name. Who would you like to see Jim Miller fight next? What would be an exciting fight for producer Jeremy Brand? What the fuck do you want with Jim Miller?
What do I want with Jim Miller?
Throw some names out there.
Fuck, who do I throw out there? I don't know. It's such a stacked division that he could fight anyone.
Maybe the loser of the Henderson Pettis fight?
That would be cool. You know, does BJ stay at 170?
Yes, I think. And speaking of which, okay, now that Koscheck's lost, okay, is there anybody? Is there a sexy matchup you want for Josh Koscheck next in that division?
As I said earlier, I mean, I would love to see him fight John Fitch.
Not going
to
happen.
It's a pipe dream.
Pipe dream. Not going to happen. He's never even stated it again that he'd rather retire or move up.
Well, then let's see Josh Koscheck, Thiago Alves.
We already saw that. We don't want to see that movie again.
No?
No. No.
Who do you want to see, Trev?
I would want to see... Dan Hardy, Josh Koscheck. Let's get that one out of the way. Those two talk trash to each other. I mean, that would be the best trash-talking feud we've probably had in a while.
That would be good.
I would love to see Dan Hardy and Josh Koscheck go at it. There you go. Dana White, make it happen.
We could see him fight Carlos Condit as well. That would be a great fight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, so, I mean, there's all kinds of sexy matchups you could have for Jim Miller and for Koscheck.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. And that's the beauty of having this, like, stacked lightweight division, too, is because, guys, I mean, look at Joe Stevenson. He lost yesterday, knockout. And I thought as soon as that happened, I was going, strike force.
No, it's been stated that he will not be cut.
No. And do you find that, like, just kind of funny sometimes? Some guys get cut after 2 losses, and then other guys, well, Joe Stevenson's been around for a while, so we won't cut him. I mean, let's be honest. Dana White has his favorites.
And they usually seem to be tough winners.
Yes. Or guys who he says brings it. Dana White says that. So Stevenson apparently brings it. He went for the knockout and then got knocked out.
Yeah, well, we've stated before on the show that guys like Quay Guida,
mm-hmm.
that guy will never be cut from the UFC because he does indeed bring it.
Yeah, you know, Quay Guida, would you ever like to see him as a carpenter?
No.
I mean, he could probably
I'd be scared of that guy coming into my house.
Hi, this is Clay Guida. We're going to do some renovations to your house. Get out of my way!
That would be a great reality TV show.
Clay Guida the Carpenter. We'll remodel your house in an hour. So also the co-main event yesterday, Stefan Struve, Sean McCorkle. We're waiting here for Doomsday Howard, who should be joining us any minute. But I just want to say, first off, Sean McCorkle. Oh, look, John, just as I say that, he arrives. Mr. Doomsday, hey. Thanks for joining us, dude.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. I got to say, man, it's tough to bring you on after a loss, but, I mean, we always love bringing you on. So, first, you know, thanks for coming. And I want to get right off the hop here. Really, really important question to you, okay?
Yep.
Here it is. What are you doing for Christmas?
I don't know. I'll buy my daughter some gifts, and that's about it. Wow, what's going on?
No. I was just wondering, what does the Doomsday household do for Christmas?
Well, my household, all thing we do is basically take my daughter shopping like a few days ahead, and basically have a Christmas present offers with them, and that's about it. Nothing too special. Maybe you have a nice cooked dinner, but that's about it.
Okay. Well, hey, everybody does it their own way. Some people ski in Ontario. We found that out earlier, so that was interesting. I didn't know they had mountains, but... tough loss last night. How is your leg feeling? You seem to take a lot of abuse on that on your legs.
Yeah, my legs, it's all right. It's getting better, you know. It was hard to walk on it yesterday, but it's getting a lot better right now to walk on it. And it'll take some recovery time, but you know, he did real good, real good.
Thiago, yeah, he looked really good. It was pretty much what you were expecting, or did you have to kind of switch up your game plan on the fly?
No, that's what I expected, man. I expected to check that leg kick, but my check, I didn't check it properly. I kind of checked it on, like, with a loose leg, and every time he kicked it, it like, rattled off. So when I planted my leg, he just landed his shot anytime he wanted to. So that was the plan and kind of feel. Besides that, it was a great fight, man. I was shocked when he took me down. I was like, oh, he took me down. I was like, what is this? This was different. But, he did a good job.
So it was pretty much what you expected. It was going to be pretty much a stand-up war.
Yeah, this is what I expected, and I wasn't too disappointed. It was awesome. It was just on point.
I mean, did you have a good time? I mean, you had the loss, but, I mean, it must have been fun for you.
It was fun, man. It was fun to fight another Muay Thai striker, someone that I advanced to, man, and just have a good old slugfest, man. I mean, it was just slugging. He was just slugging me, man. I mean, I think his timing was a little better than mine for this fight. I was a little too more aggressive. I was more trying to knock him out and not really set stuff up. And he just took his time and took his shots and picked me apart, man. So, but I had a good time, and I loved it. It was fun for me.
Okay, well, not to remind you, but you've got two consecutive losses, okay? Does that weigh on your mind when you're now, you know, when you're dealing with an organization like the UFC?
A little bit, man, but it is what it is, dude. What they have to understand is I have two fights. One, I lost it out of my hands because, you know, mm-hmm. The doctor stopped it. The second loss is to a guy who just fought GSP two fights ago, man. And to my knowledge, he did some serious damage to GSP's leg. I think after the fight, GSP's groin was ripped because of the damage that Thiago did to him. So, I mean, it has to be really understandable. Even though Thiago's coming to a loss, that is still the top, one of the top five guys in the welterweight class in the world today, man. So, I mean, I'm not really too worried about him. I mean, I put on good performance. I try my best, and that's all I could do.
Has anybody from the UFC brass spoken to you since the fight?
No, not really, man. I haven't gotten no phone call. It's only been there. So I'm just going to wait and see what happens, give it a week or so, see what calls me, and see what's up next.
Okay, well, I want to get to this right off the hop here because a lot of people throw us questions and stuff, and when we said that we were having you on the show, the first and most common question asked, what the hell is going on between you and Anthony Rumble Johnson right now? You guys have a bit of a Twitter war going on.
Yeah, man, Anthony Johnson, he's a trash talker, man. He talks trash, man. I'm just sick of it, man. He's always been talking trash ever since day one. And it's just, you know, he starts with something, and I sit down and respond, and it's going back and forth, man. My whole beef with him is, like, No, I'm sticking with running his mouth, man. If he makes weight, you know, I'll fight him. But until then, I'm not going to gain weight to fight him. This is stupid. You know, but, you know, once that happens, that happens. But I don't like the kid.
Yeah, well, you guys were supposed to fight. That didn't happen. Could this trash talk lead to another fight?
I think eventually, as long as Chris has to be settled, man, it's better than not better than up. And it's going to be a fight that has to be done that everyone's going to want to see. But it is what it is, man. I mean, I'm just sick of him talking trash. I'm sick of his opening his mouth talking trash and everything. And I'm just, he overrates himself. He thinks he's all that, man, just whatever you want to call him. And I really don't believe it. I'm not that really impressed or intimidated by him, you know. So I'm like, it's whatever, man. You know, I told him, you know, yeah, you're a hot-headed, but I'm a hot-headed too. You know, you might punch me in the face, but I'm trying to break your jaw, man. So, I mean, it's personal. I don't like the kid.
What is it about Anthony Johnson's game that you would like to sort of exploit?
Honestly, I think his striking. I think his striking is decent. But I think it's we have kind of the base style same, like the power same, and I don't think no one hits him as hard as he hits, as I hit, you know, so that's the thing. Not saying that I can run through him, I definitely think I can run through him. I have to respect his skill. He is a skilled fighter. But I just think I have the talent, enough talent to at least, you know, deal with his little punishment and then give it back to him and knock him out.
Hey, John, Jeremy here. Sort of stepping away from that point. Coming off of this loss, are you going to take some time off from the Octagon or from training, or do you want to get right back in there? When can we expect to see John Doomsday Howard in the Octagon again?
Oh, as soon as possible, man. I mean, so I'm obviously on medical leave, man, because doctors still look at my leg. My leg was kind of a beat up, so I got to make sure that's taken care of, make sure that's 100%. Once that's 100%, man, I'm getting right back in there, man. I'm not the quitter as you see me. I mean, like I tell you all the time, I'm not scared of getting beaten up. Beating up doesn't frustrate me. I mean, Thiago knee me in my face and everything, and I mean, hit me with some serious shots. I can't come forward. It doesn't bother me, man. I mean, if my limbs let me keep going, I'm going to keep going, man. I think I showed that in my last fight.
For sure. So, other than Rumble Johnson, who would you like to fight?
I don't know, man. I do want to rematch with Jake. I don't like him, but right now, what I need is just home burst my skills. You know, get that fight, get back in my winning ways, and get to the heart of people. Right? I just had two fights, two hard losses, man. So what I need to do is, you know, get a comeback fight. A fight that's gonna make me, you know, not an easy fight, but a fight that's manageable. That I'm more likely to win and then, you know, and get back to the hard game. That's my plan right now.
Just tell people about where you train, and because some people don't know.
I train at Boston, Mass. Y Crew. It's called Y Crew MMA. It's primarily a Muay Thai school, but we do mixed martial arts, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, everything like that. Also, I train in Pop Out. Center in Boston, the Boston Tap Out Center. You know, we opened it up. It's new on the East Coast, and that's just a place to train. You know, between there, I got my strength conditioning and my Muay Thai, and my wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and stuff like that. So that's why I'm training right now in Boston.
Do you go to other gyms at all or other cities to do some training?
Yeah, I went to Denver, Colorado one time. I trained with Team Grudge out there. That was pretty good. And I'm Eastern Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I believe they had the same team, just a different school that was at. But, no, it was a real good, man. Good experience. I mean, some real good guys out there, some real big guys. Shane Collins out there. You know, that's a real big guy. He's real tough. His fans is huge. But, no, it was a good experience, man. I loved it out there. And, besides that, you know, sometimes I go to MMA Lazons and once in a while try to cross-train there once in a blue moon. And that's about it, man.
Awesome. You're listening to John Doomsday Howard here on MMA Sucker Radio on MMASucker.com and MMACanada.net. Leaving this fight with Thiago, what is it that you feel you need to work on to get your game to that next level? Because, I mean, you came into the UFC like a bat out of hell, and now you've got these two, you know, setbacks, I'm going to call them. I don't really call them losses, but they're always setbacks because that will improve you as a fighter. What are some things that you would like to improve?
Yeah, clean up my technique, clean up my wrestling technique, clean up my Muay Thai technique. That might not, my technique was pretty good, obviously it wasn't. I know I have the power, but I would just have the conversation with my coaches, and my technique just wasn't clean. I didn't really think that. I was just like, you know, I thought, you know, me and was going to get in the pocket and bang. What he did is he got into his comfort zone, and I got into my pocket, but he came out and he came into my pocket and got out of it. So he was already on my range, which is really smart for him to do, because I do hit pretty hard. He hits pretty hard, too, man. I was really impressed. He punched pretty hard, you know. But, I mean, yeah, he did a good job, man. There's nothing I can say, man. I mean, we went back and forth. You know, he couldn't finish me. I couldn't finish him. He did got a unanimous decision. But I need to really clean my Muay Thai technique up in big time, man, because the first stuff I was doing, I was just, like, just going for a knockout. I wasn't really jabbing too much. I wasn't really, you know, the technique that I use in the gym, I wasn't using the cage. I was just all aggressive, just a scrum brawl, you know. And that's not what I'm trained to do, man. So I'm like, really, that's all I got to work on. But besides that, you know, one thing I learned is at least I have the heart and I have the body to take the punishment, because, you know, he gave me some punishment, and I'm telling you, man, and I saw the look in his eye, and when he kneed me in my face, I went for it. I think he was shocked, you know, because it was a bit on me and straight bit in my face, man. And I ate it. You know, I kept going, man. So at least I know I still got the heart and I still got the cards to go. But, you know, that's not enough right now. I just need to clean my technique up and get better at what I do.
Have you thought about taking it to Thailand?
Yeah, I'm going to take it to Thailand. I'm going to go back to my boxing roots, use my boxing and try to mix it into maybe taking some bench-style kickboxing. There's a lot of options that I look at, because I want to be more rounded in the striking area, you know. So I'm really dependent on my striking on Muay Thai and boxing, which is good, but he has a Dutch style. That Dutch style is a little bit different, because the way he was setting his kicks up was unbelievable. It was just unbelievable. The power he generated, I was really impressed. You know, and I tried to check it, but from what I did check, it wasn't too clean. I mean, it was it landed on my shin, but it wasn't clean as I wanted to. So a lot of stuff I still got to learn. So yeah. I'm still learning.
Besides fighting, what are some things you like to do in your free time? You sit down and watch football today or what?
I didn't get to watch football today. I was on the road coming back from home. Coming back from Canada. No, I like to play video games, man. You can always catch me in Call of Duty, PSP, Modern Warfare 2. I'm always at Tekken. That's it, man. I'm a simple guy, man. I really don't go out, chill, have fun, man. I'm really simple. I'm really at home, simple guy. I like to just relax, man, you know, go see the girls, whatever, see what they're doing, go to the club, see, you know, what they're wearing, you know, just like an average guy, average girl. Not really different. I don't really take myself too seriously, man. You know, it's funny, I was meeting fans, I'm like, oh, man, I was stopping talking to every fan I can. I'm like, oh, man, we're different than this. I'm like, yeah, because I don't think I'm this hothead superstar, you know. I'm not yeah. Talking trash with my other fighters. But this is the way I am. I just think I'm still the average child, man, who just got lucky. I'm just, you know, I'm just chilling, man. I'm just enjoying my ride, man.
What are you, what's in your iPod right now? What are you listening to? You want to give us any reviews?
Oh, man, I listen to everything. I got reggaeton, hip-hop, I got hard metal, System of a Down, Incubus, what else I got? That Daddy Yankee, Lil Wayne. I'm really, like a mixed martial artist, that's my lifestyle. I'm really cultured, like I'm mixed up in my music and everything. So I listen to everything, jazz, everything you don't believe. You go through my iPod sometimes, it's like, who iPod is that? That's mine. So I listen to everything. I'm crazy like that.
Let's get back to you not taking yourself too seriously. When did you come up with, you know, your funky hair that you did yesterday?
Oh, actually, what happened is I was trying to find a barber in Montreal, man. That was really difficult.
Really?
The type of hairstyle I want and the type of barbers I need to cut. So that was pretty hard. But when I found them, I was really fortunate to find it. And when I did, man, to tell them to hook me up, man, give me some color in and give me some fancy doing. They hooked me up, man. You know, give me a good price, and they took care of me. I really appreciate it. Actually, that's King's Cuts in Montreal. Check them out if you can. You know, they do a real good job.
King's Cuts, Montreal.
Yep.
Check it out if you want to get a haircut like John Howard.
Definitely.
I know I do. John, what did you think of Canada, by the way?
It was nice, man. It was real nice. interesting. No, it was nice. It was cold, a lot of snow, you know, but I'm from Boston, so it wasn't a big deal, but I liked it. I liked it, man. I'm glad to call myself a technically an international fighter. Mm-hmm. No, and I honestly, I liked it. It wasn't bad. You know, I had a real good experience with it, man. You know?
Mind you, you were in Montreal, so, I mean, that was... Yeah. It's not like Vancouver, but in Montreal there's just a ton of French people. So that must have been a major culture shock for you.
Not major. I mean, this is my first time in Montreal, man. This is my first time being and doing what I'm doing, but it's not my first time. Mm. It was pretty cool for me. My best friend, I was walking down the street going to the store to get some water or something. And the guy stops and was like, "Aren't you John Howard?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Hey, how you doing, man? I'm a big fan of that." I was like, "Wow, are you from here?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm from Montreal." I'm like, "That's awesome, man. I have a fan in Montreal. I got a fan in Montreal. How awesome is that?" I was honestly shocked. I didn't think, you know, I mean, like I said, I was taking myself serious, so I was like really excited. I had a fan in Montreal. I'm like, "This fan in Montreal?" I thought all y'all were just GSP. He knew exactly where I was, how I lost my fight and everything. And I was like, "Well, that's what's up." I was really glad we appreciated it about that.
Did you happen to visit any of the certain type of clubs that they have in Montreal that they are world famous for?
Yes, I did. I did. Yes, awesome. So that's it. It was awesome. It was awesome. That's all I would say. It was awesome. I enjoyed myself. It was awesome. Montreal, not a party. It was awesome. It was from Mad Love. I got in. I checked out. You know, they knew who I was. And when they found out who I was, they just gave me nothing but love, man. Nothing but love. Love everywhere. From everybody in that place, from bouncers to managers to everybody. So it was awesome. I really enjoyed that. That was pretty cool.
For people who don't know, Montreal is world-renowned for their strip clubs. So, I one of the reasons why I want to go there.
Oh, you got it, man. You'll enjoy yourself. You definitely will.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have with you today, man. But you want to give us some shout-outs?
Yes, man. Actually, the person I want to shout out to is T.L. Robbins, man. Pitbull. Hey, thank you for the great fight, man. I'm just happy to be fighting the top tier guy, man. You know, you show me what I need to work on, and I will come back and work on it. And hopefully, I can come back and give you a better fight. Shout out to Y Crew, Tap Out, my sponsor Venom, John Allen, Mark McNome, John Clark, all my trainers that helped me my fight, the UFC, and definitely shout out definitely to Montreal, man. Y'all know how to treat a UFC fighter, man. Y'all show me up by lab, and I want to give it back, so I really appreciate it. Thank y'all.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us, and Merry Christmas to you, sir, and your family, and we hope to have you on again.
All right, Merry Christmas, man. Thank you, man.
That was John Doomsday Howard joining us, and Jeremy, he loved the Montreal nightlife. I mean, who wouldn't? I've
sounded
heard things.
That way.
Yeah. Yeah. And he found a barber, which is great too. So
with hair like his, I mean, he changes it up every fight. I was wondering where he would find a barber in Montreal for his style.
Well, I just figured that they would have lots of barbers in Montreal. Isn't that what French people, never mind.
I don't know. I mean, in one of the countdown shows we saw George going to the barber. So
yeah,
they
exactly.
Must have lots.
But just none that could cut the hair the way the Doomsday wants it. Okay. We're going to give a shout-out as well to Rainful Contact. If you're looking for quality MMA gear, check out Rainful Contact. This is martial arts gear created by martial artists. They put a lot of their expertise and care when designing their gloves, focus pads, shin guards, and more. Double stitching, innovative designs, and just all-around cool look, man. Check out their t-shirts, hoodies, toques. Put some rain gear in your gym bag. Go to dominantground.com and get 15% off. Not only that, get this, but free shipping for the rest of December. Free shipping. So it doesn't matter where you are in the world right now. Go to dominantground.com. Check out the Rainful Contact gear or any of the gear on Dominant Ground for that matter. And you get free shipping.
Wow.
Yeah. So Rainful Contact makes for a great Christmas gift for the martial artist in your life. I just actually bought a certain person in my family a rain hoodie I bought their older one. They have a new one coming in, I believe, in a few weeks. That I'm sure you'll see that on our Facebook page, or join Rainful Contact's Facebook page as well. So yeah, big shout out to Rainful Contact.
as well as, you know, I'm going to give a shout out to Dominant Ground again. If, you know, Christmas is coming, if you guys are looking for some gifts, go to dominantground.com. Just recently, they brought on one of our other sponsors, Clench, Clench Mouth Guard. So you can go and buy a mouth guard from dominantground.com. They'll send you a mold, and put the mold in your mouth, and you can get a custom-made mouth guard for you. So check out dominantground.com. And that's really all I want to say about that, because just see for yourself. It's a great site, free shipping, and enough said. Have you done your Christmas shopping already, Jeremy, or are you leaving for the last minute like me?
I'm usually a December 24th kind of guy.
I am too. I'm trying to make it the 23rd, 22nd maybe.
It's tough because my wife's birthday was yesterday, as I said. I mean, that's December. It's our anniversary in December. And then Christmas.
What are you guys going to do for Christmas? Are you going to take her to a monster truck show? You're such a romantic.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll see.
UFC on her birthday? Was she, like, cool with that?
Eh, she had shit to do.
Oh, the love in that marriage, eh? I'm such a romantic guy. That's awesome, though, man. I haven't really done much Christmas shopping. I kind of let my wife do it, most of it. And then when people open up their presents, oh, yeah, I picked that out for you. Yeah, I remember that. I'm more interested, like, I'm almost as excited as the people who are opening it because I have no idea what they're getting, and it's from me. And then if it's something that I know they probably wouldn't like, I'm like, yeah, sorry, dude, my wife bought that for you. Yeah, I had no choice in that. Sorry.
Oh, that's the worst when you mail someone something, though, and you don't know what it is. The person phones you up, and they're like, oh, thanks for the gift.
You liked it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's great. And then, yeah, it's, yeah. But, no, looking forward to Christmas and looking forward to the new year. Lots of big things planned for MMA Sucka. By the way, tonight, if you guys want to listen to a great little podcast, I recommend a little podcast here in Vancouver. They're actually getting a lot more recognition internationally as well, called Fat Lip Radio. I'm going to be joining those boys tonight. I'm going to be running to their studio right after this to do more MMA talk. And as well, keep us locked on MMASucka.com. Darcy McBride from Radio TKO, and among other future radio stations pretty soon, he actually lost the last MMA Sucka duel. And we've done all the video now. He dressed up as MMA Santa, and we went downtown Vancouver and had people give us toonies to beat up Santa Claus. And it went pretty good. People gave
us
money.
Funny, yeah.
Yeah, so we have video footage of this, of Santa Claus getting his ass kicked in downtown Vancouver. So, and mind you, we're raising money for cancer awareness. We're giving it to Jeremy, who's doing Ride for Cancer. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Ride for Cancer, by the way? I think pretty soon we're going to put it on our site where people can donate money for Ride for Cancer. So just quickly give us a rundown of why you're doing it.
Yeah, for sure. It's called the BC Ride to Conquer Cancer. It's a bike ride from Surrey. Well, they say it's from Vancouver, but really it's from Guilford Mall in Surrey all the way down to Seattle. We usually finish at the University of Washington.
How many kilometers is that usually? Or miles?
We go in kilometers. I don't know in miles, but we ride about 130 to 140 kilometers a day. And then we ride from Guilford Mall out in Surrey, BC, out to the border. Across the border, we ride down to Mount Vernon, which is just down in Washington. We do a camp over. There's food. There's shit. They treat us really well. Put on some music acts. And then the next day, we wake up at about 6, 7 o'clock and get on our bikes, hurting our asses again all the way to Seattle.
And so why are you doing it?
Well, I've done it for 2 years now. This will be my third, this 2011 ride. About 3 years ago, my daughter was diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. So she beat it. She had thyroid cancer, and this is what I did. I decided to raise money for cancer. Last year, my team, well, initially my team had 7 guys. We were called Team Mad A. We raised about $45,000
$50,000. Wow.
Which was pretty good for 7 guys. Last year I joined up with another crew. We're called Team Riders for Riders. Don't really want to get into why we're called that because it'll take me too long.
Yeah.
But last year we had 24 riders and we raised over $127,000.
Wow. Okay. So can people actually, because people are in the Christmas spirit right now, and they, you should be in the Christmas spirit all year round, by the way. But if they want to donate, where can they go?
Definitely they can. And I've actually urged people that are going to be sending me Christmas cards with money in it. Rather than sending me a Christmas card, donate to my ride. You can go to www.conquercancer.ca. Yes, that's .ca, not .com. /go to /Jeremy Brand. Simple as that.
Okay, say it one more time.
www.conquercancer.ca. I don't know whether it's a backslash or a forward slash. Whatever slash they use, go to / Jeremy Brand.
Okay. And also we'll put it up on our Facebook page as well. You get a chance to donate. We'll put it on our website this week.
Also, let me just mention, if you donate more than $10 before the end of this year, it will be tax deductible.
Ah, okay. Good to know. All right, perfect. Yeah, and it's a great cause, man. And, you know, we can talk MMA till we're blue in the face, but, you know, also giving back to the community, and especially something like cancer, which, you know, I know has touched a lot of people personally in their lives. And so, yeah, absolutely, folks, if you get a chance to give to that, that's perfect. And also, I want to say thank you to everybody that's listening. MMACanada.net, our good friends there. George Rock and David Stanford, they do a great job. They have a new website coming up very, very soon, so make sure you keep it locked to MMACanada.net as well as MMASucka.com. And that's pretty much all I'm going to say for now. We're still waiting for Showdown for Joe Ferraro to accept your
challenge. Let's try to get this. We tried to get Showdown on tonight.
Yes.
I'm going to mention this. He messaged me back and he said he wasn't sure because he was going to be traveling.
Okay.
And filming his show.
Yes.
For tomorrow night or tonight or whenever he's filming it.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I'm not going to do it. And I said, okay, fine, that's cool. We've got another two guests booked. And he goes, thanks for that. So I messaged him back and I said, really, Joe? The reason why we wanted to get you on the show was so I could call you out live on the air. He messages me back and he goes, LOL, I thought so.
Yeah. Because we want Showdown Joe Ferraro from MMA Connected to take the next MMA Soccer Duel. So for anybody who's listening, Facebook Showdown Joe or go to his Twitter and say you want him part of the next MMA Soccer Duel. Because when you see the video that we got of Darcy doing his MMA Santa Claus, we would love to see Showdown Joe lose the next
or
duel.
Or myself lose.
Either way. I don't think I want to see you lose. I don't want to see you wearing that. Anyway.
Well, it might be something different for the next one.
I don't know. Well, we got to go. We're leaving. Yeah, people are listening. We're just rambling here now. So anyway, thank you for listening to MMA Sucker Radio on MMASucker.com and MMACanada.net. We got a great show lined up for next week. Keep it locked and Merry Christmas.